Like Josh said, welcome to the next level. My name is Steele Crosswhite, and I just want to make this quick disclaimer. If you are new tonight, and this is your first time here to the next level, two things. I want to welcome you, and I want to tell you I am so glad that you are here. I know it can be uncomfortable to come to a new place, especially if it's your first time. Maybe you don't know a lot of people here. Maybe you've heard about it. Maybe you've been coming on Saturday night, and this is your first time to the next level. So if that's the case, I just want to say I'm so glad that you're here. At the same time, I want to tell you guys how Josh said tonight's next level is going to be a little bit different. We've been studying the book of Acts, and we're taking a break tonight, and we're going to pick that up again, I guess, next week, except my group will be going to Provo. And we'll continue on in our study of Acts. We're a little bit more than halfway done now. But tonight, I'm wanting to talk to you guys as a family. It's just kind of a family meeting, and like I said, if you're new tonight, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. When I say the family, I don't mean something too weird. I just mean more along the lines of the people that have regularly been coming to the next level, the folks that we call the Rock Church, our church home, on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and as soon to be on Friday night, that tonight I want to talk to you guys as a family and share things that are on my heart that God has honestly been teaching me and showing me since June. And I want to make this disclaimer too. I love you. I love you guys. In no way whatsoever am I trying to come across brash tonight or hurtful or harsh. Like I said, if you're new tonight, you guys are welcome to be here, but it's kind of a family meet, okay? And so I want you to be prepped for that. But tonight, I just want you to know before I even begin that I love you and that these are things that God is teaching me that I am learning at the same time. And sometimes in a church, we kind of learn together. And these are things that are on my heart that has been keeping me up since about June. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about the church, and I don't know when that started happening, but it did, and this is a few things that I want to talk about tonight are those things. So why don't I go ahead and pray, and then we'll get going. Oh, God. Thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you that I'm a little nervous, God. I can sense that. I just want to be used by you tonight, Jesus. I thank you, God, that if there are new people here tonight, that you have drawn them in. I thank you, Lord, that you want to speak directly to every single one of us individually this evening. And I pray, God, that you would speak through me, that I could talk in love. Lord, that you can open up the hearts of your kids. I pray, God, you would calm my nerves. And help me, Lord, just to communicate the things that I think you've been trying to teach me. I pray, God, that tonight we walk away different. Tonight we walk away closer to you and fired up. Lord, thank you that the fall is coming. Thank you that just soon enough the doors and the walls inside this building will be busting with people. Thank you, Lord, that I'm convinced that you had this night planned even before the fall arrived. I pray, God, for the next few moments, speak through me despite myself. I say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a couple key issues just on my heart. And I'm just going to, there's no real order to it. I'm kind of just going to walk back and forth and probably rant a little bit. But here's the deal. In Matthew chapter 5, these are things that God's been teaching me. We are called the salt and the light of the earth. Okay? As a family, we know this. We are what God would consider bright, what God would consider flavorful, what God would be using in our lives if we know Jesus Christ inside this church to preserve this earth. Okay? To preserve those that are dying. And on a Saturday night, you guys know me as a family by now that if you've seen me on a Saturday, I'm crazy, okay? Like especially if I'm playing them, I'm like walking back and forth and half the time I'm trying to find my band because I don't know where they are. The 5-minute clock is going and I'm like, oh, they're all outside smoking. No, they're getting coffee. And I'm running around as fast as I can. And I'm trying to gather them and everywhere. I'm all over the place on Saturday. If there's another band that's playing, I'm freaked out that they're not going to get up on stage on time. You know, if I'm teaching, I'm in the back and I'm pacing, a lot like what I'm doing right now. And on a Saturday, I'm all over the place. But at the same time, even though I'm kind of all over the place, when I walk back through that door and I grab coffee, which I do about 100 times on a Saturday night, and I see a new person, my heart, it just bubbles. That's a good word for it. It's like elated. When I see a new person in the midst of me kind of doing my own thing on a Saturday night, being concerned with the things that God's got me doing that night, when I see a new person, my heart starts to beat. I get excited because I know that God has drawn that person into this church. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, God Himself has invaded that person's life and brought them to this church that night. And I get excited when I see a new person because I know to myself that that person is looking for something. And we have the answer. That person has come to either find out about Christ because they don't know Jesus. That person has come to find out about salvation because they don't know what it is. That person has maybe come to get out of the cold. Maybe they came to get out of the heat. Maybe they came because they just need a friend. But they have been drawn and picked by God on a Saturday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or soon to be a Friday night. God has drawn them to Himself. And He has told us that we need to be the salt and the light. In 2 Corinthians, it says that we are Christ's ambassadors. Quite literally, what that means is we are His hands and His feet. We are His spokespeople. And so on a Saturday, or a Sunday, or the church service, or tonight, when we see a new person come, we need to realize that they've been picked by God, and we need to talk. Because it breaks my heart when at one point I'm all excited. I get so excited that they're here, that there's a new person. God's picked them, invaded their world. We've got the answer to salvation. We've got the answer to hope. And at the exact same times, I get so frustrated because I see about 10 people walk right past them. And again, I'm not trying to come across harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to wake us up a bit before the fall. When there are all of us together and there's that one person that comes in here and 10 of us walk by them without introducing ourselves, it makes me so frustrated because we're missing it. Again, I'm learning in this. I know, guys, how hard it is and how awkward it is to have those weird conversations, okay? I know that it's weird when you don't know somebody and you're like, ugh. And you don't know how to talk to somebody because you feel weird. But we need to take our hands out of our pocket and thrust them into their hand. And say, hey, is this your first time here? Oh, God, now I'm in a conversation. What next? He'll teach you. We need to get beyond ourselves. Because we know if we are nervous, if you're nervous, and most of us know each other in this room, if you're nervous, you can bet they're nervous. Way more nervous than you. They've had to put their shoes on, get dressed, and come to a place where they don't know anybody and they are searching for something and only God knows what. And He has picked every single one of us in this church that call this church our home as a family to reach out. To take our hands out of our pocket and to die. We are His ambassadors. We are the salt and the light of the earth. And you know what? There's a lot of people in here that I see that are better at this than me. So I want you to know I'm coming from you from a humble point. Okay, I'm not trying to be lording it over you. I'm just saying when I see a person that's new and they look like a deer in headlights, our job is to reach out. In my breakoff group, we have a thing called Three Before Me. And it's from my wife because she's a teacher. And she said as a teacher talking to these little kids, ask three people before you come to me. You know, that's what Kim says to the students. But we kind of adopted that motto. And what it means is in our breakoff group... Okay, just side note. All of us, we have our own friends. That's a good thing. A lot of us here at the church, don't let Satan deceive you and say that having a group of people that we really get along with is a bad thing. Okay, God's so kind that He gives us friends that we identify with more than others, that we can knock around with or go bowling or play rock and roll with or play Guitar Hero or whatever it is that we like to do. Those groups of friends are really good to have because we can laugh a lot and let our guard down and really enjoy one another's company as a family. That is an amazing thing, okay? But the rule for our breakoff group, at least we're trying to get better at this, is three before me. And what that means is before we get into our social group on a Saturday night, before we get into our social group on a Wednesday or Sunday morning or Friday, we challenge one another to introduce ourselves to three people before we do that. Three awkward, weird conversations. Three conversations to say, hello, I'm Gaga, and then you feel weird about it, and then they're there, and you're staring at each other, but then they know they've been loved. Three people, anytime throughout the service, take your hands out and go, hi, is this your first time here? Hey, do you know anything about the pastor, or what brings you here? Is your friend here? Do you need some coffee, some candy, some cookies? What can I do? Can I fatten you up? I'm glad you're at the Rock. Whatever it takes, three people before you get into your social group. Three people, each one of us, guys, look at that. Look around the room. If each one of us introduced ourselves every single week to three new people, oh my goodness, that's a revolution. and what I'm seeing and what I'm guilty of is going straight to the people that make me feel comfortable. Straight to the people that I can go party with after Saturday night or Wednesday night. And again, that's not necessarily bad, but let's not forget what this church is all about. It's about building the believer, of course, but winning the lost. And if there are people that come in here, we need to be the salt and the light and the ambassador for Jesus Christ to that person. They are more uncomfortable than you. Know that. The second thing I've got also has to do with relationships. And it's right here in this room, the next level. I'm tired of flimsy break-off groups. Okay? I'm tired of break-off groups where we don't even remember each other's names after the Wednesday has left. I know we have a lot of flood of people that come in here that are new week to week. Welcome, I'm glad you're here. But there are some that come week after week. And I know that we are still at this same superficial level. I know in my own breakoff group that I don't have the same kind of personality as everybody else has. You don't have the same personality in your breakoff groups that everybody else has. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We're God's family. We are handpicked by God even tonight to be placed with one another, to teach us, to refine us, to show us how to love beyond ourselves. And in our breakoff groups, I know that it's awkward. Oh my goodness, I know. We've been trying for over a year now to build identity, and I still hear reports that we do fun nights and stuff, and there's only one person that shows up. And it breaks my heart. Because we do that, we do those types of things so that we can get beyond ourselves to actually knowing somebody outside of this setting. And in our breakoff groups, we need to get over ourselves. I need to get over myself. I need to realize that that person right there that I would never hang out with in a million years outside of this church is my brother and my sister, and God has placed us together. I know it's hard to be in a breakoff group where you all have different personalities. One thing our group has tried to do, and we should do it again, I was convicted of it even thinking about this talk, is we put all of our names in like a hat. And we picked each other's names, and somebody else is better at doing this kind of stuff than me, but we picked each other's names, and we all ended up going out to coffee with somebody during that week before our next level meeting to get to know one another outside of the church. You cannot expect your leaders, okay, the men and women who are leading your breakoff groups, to be the only one that is facilitating conversation. You can't expect the breakoff group leaders and the men and women that are doing that to be the only ones that are reaching out. And again, I know you're all doing a good job at this. I just want to commission us more. To reach out beyond, to have real relationships, to actually pray for them, to know them deeper than just on a Wednesday night. Okay? The Bible says in John 13, it's my favorite verse in the world, that our love for one another will prove to the world that we are Christ's disciples. When Jesus Christ was praying, he said, Lord, let them be one just so that they know that we are one and so that they know that you have sent me. In John 17, we need to die. And get over the awkwardness of new people and each other. We're a family. Okay? Every family has weird personalities. I'm one of them in mine. The other thing that I've got in my mind, and again, I just want to say right at this point, I love you, and I think you guys are doing, I just am proud of you. I'm not trying to harshly rebuke anybody. But is this concept of dating. Now, not as you think I'm going to talk about it. If you are new tonight, if you're a family member, or you're close to this church, if you're new, at The Rock, we have a pretty high standard for dating, okay? A biblical standard. Kind of like Joshua Harris's book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. That's the kind of similar to that. Here at The Rock, we don't do a lot of singles groups. We're not opposed to dating, nothing like that. We just have a very high commission to treat each other with purity. You guys who are part of the core group know the deal. We try to not show favoritism. If we get attracted to somebody, we try to wait, we pray, because we know that dating should have a purpose more than just selfish need. Here at The Rock, we try to say dating should be about introducing each other and knowing each other and loving God and then getting married for purity's sake, for the sake of seeking God. Try not to show favoritism. Try to pray. Wait and pray. Just like Paul was always saying to everybody, you know what? You should wait and pray. If you want to get married, you should wait and pray. Serve the Lord as long as you possibly can. Undivided, just serve God as long as you possibly can. Wait and pray. We do the same thing here at The Rock. If we find out people are attracted to each other, oh, it's good. Wait and pray. Wait and pray. Now, here's what I got to say about this. Dozens, maybe over 100 times, I've met with dudes or girls that are godly men and women that go to this church that know this principle of godly dating or dating with a purpose. And I'll meet with them, and they'll say to me, oh, hey, I'm doing great with my quiet times. I love Jesus. Things are going really, really good, and I'm attracted to this so-and-so. Okay? And at that point, I'll look at them, and I'll say, oh, man, that's really great. You're winning with Jesus. It's really great. You're serving. You love God. And this girl that you're attracted to over here, she seems to love God. And at that time, I will probably say something like this, wait and pray. And I'll be honest with them. I'll say, hey, these are things that I've seen in your life. Nothing bad. I'm not coming across. I'm not trying to be mean. But maybe instead of just reacting to that emotion that you have with this girl, maybe you should just wait and pray. Just seek God. See if she's the one. You don't want to unlock her heart. You don't want to hurt her too fast. And I say the same things to girls. Oh, man, you're right. That dude is awesome. That guy's on fire for Jesus. He's rad. Wait and pray. Just hang out and wait and pray. And here's what I see. I just think that this guy over here could really learn to be a better leader, and you could probably learn how to win women to Christ and really die. And you over here, brother, you should probably learn how to share the gospel. And, oh, man, it's all about Jesus over here. And I give as much counsel as I can as a friend. A lot of you guys have done the same. You've adopted this idea. You've said, you know what? I believe that there's a godly purpose in dating. And you and I both have sat with dozens of people, and we said, wait and pray. Dozens, if not over 100 times, I've sat with a good godly brother and I have given him the best counsel that I know how to give, and he's done exactly the opposite of what I said. Like he's just kind of taken it and just decided that he has not wanted to do that, okay? Or I've talked to this girl and she's decided, she's listened to it, she's a Christian, he's a Christian. They've decided, you know what, that was good godly counsel, but I decided that we're going to go together anyway. Okay, at that time, I and you, as godly men and women, have a decision to make. Because more often than not, I find myself being so mad. Almost like I'm drawing a line in the sand on a disputable matter. Again, it's not the fact that they're dating isn't a sin. It's that I'm trying to give them the best counsel I know how to, trying to give them the best counsel I know how to, and often they don't listen to it, and I just want to put my line in the sand and say, I'm righteous and you're stupid. In my flesh. What do you think you're doing? I know about your past. In my head, these are going on. I know about this, and this is dumb. You're rushing it. You're going too fast. And lately, for the last few months, I've been sensing this bubble in our church where we need to learn how to create an atmosphere of grace. Now, I'm not trying to say that everybody should run out and date each other. That's the exact opposite of what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we as godly men and women, we look at him and we go, buddy, I think you should wait. I think you should pray. And if he decides against it, if there is no flagrant sin, we need to say to ourselves as a family, wow, that's probably not what I would have done. I probably wouldn't have hooked up that fast. But since there's no flagrant sin, I am going to be their best friend. And I am going to help them win. I'm going to be in their face in a loving way to ask them about their purity. I'm going to have them going over to my house. My wife's going to cook for us. It's going to be amazing. We're going to get to know each other, and we are going to seek God together. And more often than not, what I am seeing, because we are a passionate, young church that loves God and is passionate about purity, which I'm so thankful for. But in that midst, what I see is this root of self-righteousness that just drives itself right up. And we end up gossiping about each other. We end up talking badly about one another. And Proverbs 26 says that it's like a dainty morsel that goes down into our soul. In Proverbs 26 it says, gossip to a quarrel or to an argument is like throwing wood on a fire. And because we are so passionate for purity, even though we have given good counsel, it almost turns into, you fool. And we draw a line. We need to be men and women that go to these other Christians right here in this room that say, I don't know if God would have you go that fast. Here's what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. I know you got a checkered past. I know you're pretty excited about this. Maybe you should wait and pray. And if they go against that counsel, we need to go, okay, there's no real sin there. They stand accountable before God like it says in Romans, so I'm going to be their biggest fan. That needs to happen. In disputable matters, okay? A lot of things like that can happen in our church where it's a disputable matter. We might have an opinion over here and they might have an opinion over there. We are called to love one another. We are called to cultivate an attitude of grace. We are called not to gossip. If we hear about it, shut it down. Shut their mouth. Because it's your family. And it's a disease in our midst. We need to quiet our mouths and pray more. Last thought, and then I'm done. So we need to get better with visitors and with one another. We need to cultivate an attitude of grace as you and I are making our way through this pilgrimage of our what we call working out our salvation with God. Gracious towards one another, loving towards one another, helpful towards one another, real with one another. And the last one is this. It's the issue of sin. Here's the flip side to all that I just talked about. I can't tell you how many times during the week, and it's not necessarily bad, but how many times during the week I get a text message or a phone call right here again on a Saturday night. That's really the bulk of where I fit, or a Wednesday night, some Sunday morning folks and some Provo folks too. But the bulk of it on Saturday night folks that I feel connected to, I will get emails or phone calls or text messages saying something like this. So-and-so got drunk last night. So-and-so is swearing a lot. They can't quit saying the F word. So-and-so is smoking and they're underage and I don't know what to do. So-and-so is having sex with one another. And I hear these things and in my mind, I'm wondering why you're calling me. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad to call me, but here's the deal. If you're at a party with somebody and you see somebody getting wasted and they're your brother and they're your sister, we need to take it upon ourselves to call them out. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, the word of God is useful for training, correcting, rebuking in righteousness for every man and woman of God. It says in Galatians chapter 6 that you and I, it says, brothers, if one of you is caught up in a sin, you need to gently restore them. Okay, if you're at a party and you see somebody who's ongoingly getting drunk, if you see somebody who's slipping up in an area, rather than picking up the phone and calling me first, in private, you need to grab that person and do what the Bible says and gently pull them aside away from everybody else's eyes. Maybe if they're drunk, you wait till the next day and you grab them by themselves in private and you say, listen, I'm a little embarrassed about this. I'm kind of scared to do this because I want you to know that I love you. But the Bible says that sin leads to death. And I've been seeing you sin in this area. I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I don't want us to become a church that holds up everybody else's sin. Love keeps no record of wrong, okay? It doesn't. But we need to love each other enough that we call each other out on it. If you see somebody who's saying the F word over and over again, you need to grab them and say, buddy, I know, I used to struggle with that too. But listen, we shouldn't have any coarse joking or coarse or foul talk come out of our mouth. I'm not saying that to be self-righteous. I'm not trying to tell you that there's a speck in your eye. I'm trying to be faithful. I love you. And by the way, if you see sin in my life, tell me. That's the way that works. Tonight, next level, if you ever see sin in my life, you call me on it. Come up to me and love me enough to say, Steele, I see you heading down a road. It's going to lead to death. And I love you enough to tell you to stop it. Because it's going to kill us. We need to be real. We need to look at one another and say, I see a sin in your life. I'm not trying to hold it over your head. I just want to be with you forever. I want you to be here in this church, and I want to win with you. Maybe I can help you keep each other accountable. And you can bet that if there are these new relationships that happen in our midst, that I would be one of the first ones going, hey, are you having sex before you're married? Because if you are, it's going to ruin your relationship. And if you hear about it, a sister or a brother that's having sex with one another, don't lord it over, don't step on their neck, don't be self-righteous, but say, gosh, maybe you shouldn't do that. I'm embarrassed to bring it up. I love you enough to tell you that sin is going to lead to death. Men and women, we are the face of God. We need to be real with one another. Love each other more. Love each other enough to give grace and love them enough to get in their face. Recognize new people as sheep on their way to the slaughter. You know what I'm saying? We need to be each other's biggest fans. I want the best experiences of my life to come out of this church. Because, you know, there's nothing more beautiful on earth than the church of God. Until we get to heaven, we will never see anything more beautiful than what's happening tonight. Because every single one of you have a piece of Jesus. And in all the other local churches all across the world, it's happening there. But here, these are the walls God gave us care over. And we need to love each other and be each other's biggest fans. We need to go to bat for one another. We need to stand up for one another. And we need to die for one another. Because there's nothing more beautiful than the craziness that's happening in this room. Because all of you have pieces of God. He's living in you. I want our best accomplishments, our best friendships, our best experiences in this busted life to come from right here. Because God's handpicked each one of us. The biggest challenges and the most greatest rewards. Now listen, I love you guys. I know this was kind of weird. If you're new tonight, it's not always this intense. I always do scream. That's not new. You guys, we're going into the fall. It's time to step up. It's time to get to the next level. We can only do that by asking God and by dying to ourselves and being obedient to Him. But it's time. Not me. It's not just my time. Not just Josh's or Bill's or Max. All of us. I've never been more proud of anything in my life than to look out here and see you guys. You should never be more proud of anything in this world than one another. Serve your leaders and your breakoff groups. Help them. Die to one another. Get to know one another. Take your hands out of your pockets and meet new people. Call each other on sin when necessary. Let me pray, and then what I want to do is get into our breakoff groups, and I just want to pray for one another. We can make it fast. Just get with one another. Maybe take each other's phone numbers down. Don't just depend on your leaders. Get with one another. It's time. Okay? Let me go ahead and pray. Jesus Christ, thank you that you loved us first. Thank you, God, that I am no better, Lord. We are all in need of you. I am in need of you. We are in need of you. Jesus, we want to love new people. Jesus, we want to have the courage to talk to new people. Lord, we want to have the courage to talk to one another, even though it's awkward sometimes. Lord, I pray that you would give us the capability of being gracious with one another in areas that sometimes seem gray. I pray, God, that you would help us to call each other out on sin, not in a way that is self-righteous or mean or embarrassing, but in a way that is real and true to the Bible, gently rebuking and correcting. I love you, Lord. I pray, God, that these walls would bust with people and that every single one of them would be in a meaningful relationship with you and with one another. I thank you, God, for the new people that are here tonight. I know that was probably kind of weird, but I know you picked them for a reason. Lord, I love you. We praise you. We say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.